This is an interview with Judge Howard Sumner, who was judge of the Montgomery Circuit Court for a number of years here, who is now retired. This interview is being conducted on July 16, 1976, by Bob Wernley of the Montgomery County Historical Society. Now, I think we'll just begin, Judge Sumner. Why don't you tell us, when were you born?
I was born June 28, 1901, in Jay County, Indiana. That's near Portland.
That's over in the eastern part.
That's on the eastern tier counties. It's halfway between Fort Wayne and Richmond, just off of Road 27. I was born in the country.
You were farm?
Farm raised.
Uh-huh.
And I have five brothers, all younger than I, and we're all living.
Uh-huh. Now, Judge, where did you go to school?
I went to the grade school. I went to a one-room brick country school known as Number 4 of Madison Township, Indiana, Jay County, Indiana. Went to Portland High School. Then I went to business college. And after my business college training, I went to law school.
Where'd you go to law school?
I went to law school, Benjamin Harrison. That is where I got my degree. I went part of the time to Benjamin Harrison, part of the time to Indiana Law School, both of which are now consolidated into Indiana University Law School in Indianapolis.
Did you ever go to law school down in Bloomington?
No.
Mm-hmm. And when did you get out of law school?
I got out of law school in 1922, June of 1922.
And what did you do then?
Well, I was working part-time as a deputy clerk in the Marion County Courts until August 14th, 1922, when I came to Crawfordsville. And I started then working with Clarence Bowen, who was then attorney for the Evans DeVoren Company, which is the farm loan agent for the Mutual Benefit Life Insurance Company out of Newark, New Jersey. They had an arrangement with the Mutual Benefit Life Insurance Company where they brokered loans and collected commissions
for
the loans.
Let me stop you right here, Judge. In those days, did you used to have to take a bar examination?
Did not. I did not take a bar examination. At the time that I was graduated from law school, then the dean of the law school moved in the Supreme Court. Of course, I was first admitted in the Marion County Superior Court, and then I went to the then the dean took all the class to the Supreme Court and also to the federal court. And I was admitted under Judge A.B. Anderson in the federal court.
And he was in the Crawfordsville, man.
He came from Crawfordsville. He originally was a partner of Ben Crane, who had an office in this building.
Ben Hur building?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then subsequently, after Anderson left, Charlie McCabe came in here, who had been practicing first at Williamsport and then Covington. And it was Crane and McCabe then, after Anderson left.
You know anything about the background of Anderson? Was he an old Crawfordsville resident?
He had been here for a good many years. I've forgotten where he was raised. It was not here in this county, however. But he came in here and was elected prosecuting attorney. And after he was prosecuting attorney, he was appointed a federal judge.
Mm-hmm. I guess he must have been a Republican at that time.
He was. He was a Republican and was always a very outspoken individual. He was. They always accused him of being a prosecutor on the bench.
Uh-huh.
He was the judge immediately preceding Robert Balzell, who came from Princeton, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And Balzell then was succeeded by Steckler.
Yeah. Now, then you came over to Crawfordsville, and how'd you have to get this? How'd you happen to get this job?
Well, a fellow by the name of Jim Clary was a reporter for the Indianapolis Commercial, which was and he picked up all the court news, and he knew me, and of course he knew a man over at the city building who was city comptroller at that time, I don't recall his name, that was a friend of Clarence Bowen. He knew Clarence Bowen was looking for somebody to help him. He had more work to do for Evans DeVorden Company than he could get done, and so they were looking for somebody, and Frank Evans and then Lawrence DeVore both interviewed me over in the Indianapolis. Of course, I was working as a deputy clerk in room 3 of Superior Court while I was going to law school.
Now, when you came to Evans DeVore, were they here in the Ben Hur building?
They were in the Ben Hur building on the second floor.
What was the nature of that business they carried on?
Well, they took applications for farm loans principally, and the money was furnished by the Mutual Benefit Life Insurance Company at Newark, New Jersey. And for their compensation, they collected a commission. And at that time, the loans were made for a 5-year period. Then subsequently, when the Depression, had the difficulty beginning in 1929, and the Depression began, then, of course, they quit making farm loans, and they managed farms that the Mutual Benefit took in satisfaction of their mortgages, either by foreclosure or by accepting deeds.
Were you and Bowen the only attorneys there, or was Bowen an attorney?
He was. He was an attorney, and he and I worked together from 1922 to 1927. He left 1927, then I became attorney for Evans DeVorden Company.
And whatever happened to Bowen?
Bowen went to California with the a title and trust company. I can't tell you now which one it was in Los Angeles, and then finally moved up to Palo Alto, California, where I understand he died. Mm-hmm. They had a daughter that was adopted, and then one that was a natural-born daughter when they left here in 1927. I never saw him after he left here.
Now, Judge, you got married somewhere along the line.
In 1924, my wife and I were married on August 12th, 1924. At Portland,
here?
Indiana. She was from Portland.
Oh.
And she was a gal that I knew all our ways. In fact, her parents lived right next door to where my, on an adjoining farm to where my.
All right, before we go on, why don't you tell us about what children you have?
I have a daughter, Arlene Summer, now Arlene Cowan, and Harry Summer. Arlene is, she was born August 22nd, 1927, and Harry was born June 3rd, 1940.
And Harry works over in Indianapolis.
He works for the Merchants National Bank and Trust Company Trust Department.
Mm-hmm. Judge, going back to the, you said that, you came to work here in the Ben Hur building. There are lots of lawyers in the Ben Hur building now. Do you remember who were the lawyers that were here in the building at that time?
Well, Ben Crane and Charles M. McCabe, Frank Davidson, Frank D. Davidson. He had been in the, he was when I came here in the Crane and McCabe firm. And then subsequently he left that office and established an office of his own. He was the son of Dr. Davidson, who was the medical examiner for the Ben Hur Insurance Company. And Andrew Foley was in the building.
Was he up in the same office that buries him now, still there?
Yes, he was on the fourth floor.
Mm-hmm.
And then subsequently, after Bernard graduated from Notre Dame Law School, he came into the office with Andrew Foley. Andrew had been, before I came to Carpentersville, the Judge Thomas, who was formerly a judge in the Montgomery Circuit Court. And at that time, at the time I came, he had a woman lawyer with him by the name of Nina Lindley, who subsequently married, can't tell you his name, at...
Who had this woman?
At the circuit, A.D. Thomas.
Oh.
Judge Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
And Judge Thomas was quite an old man. He's very feeble.
Mm-hmm.
But he still came to the office every day.
Now, do you remember the setup in the building here where these various lawyers were located?
I don't remember where. Crane and McCabe were on the fourth floor in the northwest corner of the building. They had several rooms there. Andy Foley was on the fourth floor on the east side in the same office where John Barry and Dick Tully are. They had only two rooms, two of the long rooms. And then when Bernard came in, they had the third room added. Let's see.
Was Bill Sproul in the building at that time?
No, Bill Sproul was then in the building down where, at the alley there, where the variety store is now, just across from the courthouse. The J.C. Penney Company was in that building at that time, and we had a fire in 1933 and burned that building out, and Bill Sproul's office burned with it. And then he moved to the fourth floor of the Ben Hur building, but that was after the Crane and McCabe firm had dissolved.
Now, where, speaking of that fire, was Dick Ristein's father, what was his name?
His,
Harley?
Harley Ristein, and his grandfather and Harley were together at the same time, at the time they came here, and they were up this way, about where the Goodman building subsequently, and then the Bellicamp store was. There was a three-store building there, a brick building, was demolished, and well, and the fire had burned, and then they built this present store that's down there now.
All right, where do you know any other lawyers practicing here at that time?
Oh, yes, Williams and Murphy were here at that time.
Where were they?
They were over what is now Reasoner's Jewelry Store, where Walter Spencer subsequently was.
Mm-hmm.
And then up this way was Henry Van Cleve and Arthur McGoy, and they on the same side of the street, that is on the south side of Main
Street.
These
were upstairs.
They were upstairs. And,
whereabouts, do you remember what which office was Arthur McGoy in?
Well, it was in the it was in the one that's over the Golden Rule.
Oh.
And then subsequently, well, at that time too, Dumont Kennedy had an office up where that sewing center is now. His office was in that upstairs in that building. Dumont Kennedy had practiced law here a good many years. He'd been mayor of Crawfordville, and he had been clerk of the Montgomery Circuit Court at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, Justin J. Maloney was along there between where Arthur McGoy was and where Dumont Kennedy was. Tony Watts was not practicing law. He was just the peace at the time when I came to Crawfordville.
Where was his office located?
He was over on Washington Street upstairs.
Wasn't
about
it?
Where the, well, just east of the, or north of the building where Nye Bowie Drugstore used to be, which is now vacant.
Mm-hmm. Was there an old-timer named O.U. Perrin?
He was up that same stairway
did
at the back.
Practice?
Well, he had some business, I suppose, enough to exist on. He lived in the back room of his office. He never was married, and he just existed. Bob Caldwell had an office over on Green Street, over where the cleaning establishment used to be. No, it was the first door, or first stairway north of the cleaning establishment. The cleaning
next
establishment,
to the Journal?
Next to the Journal Review, on that stairway.
Mm-hmm.
The Journal was there when I came to Crawfordville, and the Review was down on West Main Street where that book center, that religious book center is.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the review was. Foster Fudge got control then of that review, and then he and Al Smith, who had control of the journal, consolidated the two newspapers. But at the time I came here, Arthur McCain was running the journal.
Mm-hmm. Were there any other lawyers in town here at the time you came?
Well, Harry Fine had an office over on South Washington Street, up the stairway there next to the gas company office, and in the back rooms of that, upstairs there, was a fellow by the name of Emerson Ballard, who has spent most of his life, instead of practicing law, writing law books, and he was the founder of the 3-in-1 service that the Bob's Merrill people subsequently put out. He did a research and citations and so on,
mm-hmm.
and sold that out. I remember a thing about Emerson. He'd meet him on the street after he got old and was very feeble, and he could barely walk with a cane. You'd ask Emerson in the morning when you saw him, he'd say, "Good morning, Emerson, how are you?" "Never better." Thought I'd put that in the record.
Well, now,
let's see, I was trying to think if there's anybody else that was practicing. Edgar Rice was practicing law at that time. He had been clerk, and he was secretary of the Union Savings and Loan Company, which came out of the trust company. Used to be on South Washington Street down there where the Crane and Cigar Store is. There was a trust company in there, and it went, got into financial trouble and finally liquidated. And I was trying to think who, I think Ralph Clements and Will Stump and a group of those fellows bought the assets in that liquidation, and the building alone part of it that was in that trust company became the Union Savings and Loan Association, and their office was then subsequently next to Dumont Kennedy's office on East Main Street above, it was the next door west as I remember. Well, I'm not sure. I think it was the next door west of the stairway that goes up to the sewing center.
Mm-hmm.
I bought a piece of property in 1925, and the loan was with the Union Savings Loan, and I became acquainted with Rice at that time.
Now that's a That seemed like a lot of lawyers in Crosville. Were all those fellows practicing when you came in?
Oh, yes. Yes, some of them had good business. Some of them barely made any living. Bob Colwell,
Chase was practicing.
Chase was here at that time, and he took the office that over where the Citizens Bank was. He was the first building east, and it's above where the Clements Rosher Company is, upstairs there. And he took Walter Spencer in with him as a young lawyer. In fact, Walter was here when I came. And then Walter left Chase's office and went over after Williams and Murphy died. He went over and took that office that they had had over the jewelry store.
Now, before you think of any more lawyers in Crawfordsville?
Well, let's see. Yes, Ari Clouser was here. Charlie Johnson was here.
My goodness, all those fellows practicing?
Yeah. Some of them, of course, had other interests besides being lawyers, but they maintained law offices. Charlie Johnson was still living when Selwyn Eustard came to Crawfordsville, because Selwyn went in with Charlie Johnson at his office.
What was their office?
On North Washington Street. It was the first stairway east of the bookstore.
Um, Now,
north of the bookstore, I mean.
Okay. Anybody else? Ira Clouser, he was the postmaster.
He became postmaster. He always had been interested in politics. Johnson's brother, Charlie Johnson, was the one that was still practicing, and his brother, I was trying to think what his first name was, became postmaster. He was postmaster ahead of Ira Clouser. And both of those fellows were Democrats.
All right, now, before we go to the judge at that time, were there any lawyers out in the county?
Yes, Bob Marks was at Ladoga, and there was a man at Linden, and I was trying to think what his name was. He was a man who alleged to have committed suicide by burning the barn down where he lived. He lived out this side of Linden. He never had much law practice, but he held himself out as a lawyer and did some work. There was a justice of peace down at Waveland. His name was Canine, but I don't think he ever practiced law. Mm-hmm. But those were the only ones now that were practicing when I came here.
Mm-hmm. Well, the standards then for getting admitted to the bar really weren't very high.
Well, you had to be 21 years of age and of good moral character, according to the, the statute of that time.
You didn't have to go to law school?
No, many of them didn't. Chase Harding never went to law school. In fact, a good many of them. No, Anthony never went to law school. Harry Fine never went to law school.
Did Andy go to law school?
Yes, Andy Foley went to the old Indianapolis College of Law. Mm-hmm. He taught school before he went to the Indianapolis College of Law. He went 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Now what about, was Mike Foley practicing at that time, or is he dead?
No, he was in Indianapolis representing the Indianapolis Street Railway in their personal injury cases.
That was Andy's brother?
That was Andy's brother, older than Andy. Mm-hmm. And subsequently he came mentally ill and died in the sanitarium over at Jacksonville, Illinois.
Now, who was judge when you came here?
Jerry West. Judge. And he had been judge since about 1896.
Gee.
He served from 1896 till December 31st, 1928. And Rice was elected. He beat him in the election of 1928 and took office January 1st, 1929.
What happened to Jerry West after?
Jerry West was around here for a while. He opened an office on East Main Street on the ground floor behind the abstract office that was then on East Main Street, along about where the Montgomery Savings Loan is, and he had an office there for a year or two, and some of the fellows were interested in him, got him an appointment on the Public Service Commission, and he served a couple of years or three, and then subsequently retired and went to live with his daughter, who then lived in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and died out there.
Mm-hmm.
His wife had died before, I think before he actually was defeated.
Now you haven't mentioned Walter Coppin, wasn't he?
He was admitted to the practice, but he never practiced law. Now his father, Llewellyn Coppin, and he had a brother that was known as Llewellyn Coppin. Llewellyn Coppin was the older man, and he was, as I understand it, admitted to practice law, but he never practiced law after I was here. Gailey McClure was admitted to practice law, but never practiced law. He made abstracts. Walter Coppin never practiced law, made abstracts. Mm-hmm. And Warner Swearingen. See, Walter Coppin and Warner Swearingen were in the Coppin office, Coppin and Swearingen, then it came, and Gail McClure was in had an office on South Green Street in a room that would be at the south end of what is now the Delacant building. There were three or four rooms in there.
Now, these fellows, though, you're naming these last fellows were abstractors.
They were all abstractors.
Mm-hmm. Now, these must have been some pretty interesting characters. What would you say were the leading law firms in Crawfordsville when you first came?
Well, the ones that were known most were Williams and Murphy, Crane and McCabe. Andy Foley was recognized as a good lawyer. Harry Fine was a good lawyer. Van Cleve and McGoy. Represent a good many people, but the most of them were people, most of them were farm people. I think most of their practice was with farmers and people in smaller communities. Now, Charlie Johnson's practice was made up a great deal by people out around Darlington, because he was raised out around Darlington, and Ira Clouser was raised out near Thorntown over in Boone County. Harry Clouser lived on East Wabash Avenue up there, just second house east of where Dr. Warbington lives now.
Yes. How about, had Chase become pretty prominent by that?
Yes, part? Chase was, he had a good bit of the, see he went into the office with,
that's Chase Harding, I mean.
Chase Harding went into the office with tall, slender fellow that became the receiver for Advanced Rumley Company, and he got a good bit of his practice. He was the brother-in-law of Dr. Gott, and let's see, what was his name? Think about that a little bit. He was gone when I came, but Chase was was in that office alone at that time. He they had Walter Spencer with him as a young man. Mm-hmm. So I'd say that Chase Harding, Crane and McCabe, Crane and McCabe, Robert Williams, and John Murphy had the leading law practices as the practice of law went.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you take part in, were you actively practicing at that time, or were you confined to, or was your practice confined to?
Most of the things.
I gotta change it.